Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together once again to worship you, to receive the grace and forgiveness that you give us. And Father, as we dive into your word today, we pray that you would teach us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would show us what you want us to know and receive today. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness and your grace that never ends. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I feel like and believe that all of us want to bear fruit in life. Whether that's in your vocation or as a follower of Jesus, when you know Jesus as Savior, you want to bear fruit. You want to tell people about him. I know for me, whenever I was growing up and people would always ask that dreaded question, what do you want to be when you grow up? I didn't always know how to answer in the sense of that particular vocation that I would tell them, but I always knew the answer would be I wanted to help people. That was what I wanted my fruit to be. And over the years, that looked different. I didn't declare a major in my 5 years of college. I had a victory lap, you know, that I didn't declare a major till like year three because I didn't know really what I wanted to do. And even later, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. But I finally settled after looking at nursing or being a physician's assistant like my dad or a teacher like both of my parents, see, my mom the whole time, my dad part of his career. I thought, okay, well, none of those really fit me, although I could help people in those. But I wanted to be a healthcare administrator because I could do the healthcare part, and then I could help people in a unique way from that position. Well, I tried that for a few years and understood, okay, well, maybe I can't do what I wanted to do in the way I wanted to do it. And so then I became a pastor later after a number of other followers of Jesus encouraging me, friends, and, you know, you should go to seminary. What? No, you saw me grow up. No way. I don't have any desire to do that. What are you talking about? And here I am, you know, Jesus hasn't kicked me out yet. So I pray that in this role that as I serve, that I bear fruit. And as a pastor, you don't always get to sit under the tree that you plant, meaning you don't always get to see the fruit. You know, it's just the way it works. But I pray that I make a difference for the gospel. And I think that's what all of us as followers of Jesus want. We want to make a difference. But you know what? The world doesn't always want to hear the message that we have. Maybe because they've heard a distorted view of the gospel that they thought was the gospel. And now you come with the real gospel that Jesus loves them, that it's a free gift of grace. And they go, I already heard that. Don't want to hear it anymore. That's not going to help. I already tried it. Or maybe distractions confront you where you want to bear fruit. You want to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people around you, but life gets in the way. Your own health issues or dealing with your family. Just there's a lot of stuff going on in your life and it's distracted you from sharing the gospel. That can happen. Where you're worried about focusing on the financial situation or inflation and how am I going to do things and how am I going to make ends meet? What am I going to do? And so you focus on yourself instead of focusing on sharing the gospel as Jesus calls us to. We can get distracted with all that's in the world. And then we can also just be fearful. We want to bear fruit. But there's a cost to that. It's not comfortable to bear fruit because you have to share the good news of Jesus. And sometimes that can strain a relationship? Or, wait, how do I share the good news of Jesus at my job where I could get in trouble? Like, what do I do? I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to get in trouble. I want to do it at school, but, I mean, what are my classmates going to think of me if I share the good news of Jesus? What, I love this relationship that I have with my friend, but if I share the gospel with them, are they going to be my friend anymore? There's fear that creeps in. There's a cost to bearing fruit. You know, right now as it's gardening season, if any of you are gardeners right now, it's time to get everything ready to go as spring is here. And I know my wife has been putting the fence back, repairing fence after critters have tried to get in, and she's going to have to take all of the weeds that have come up over the winter and pull all of that out. We're going to have to fertilize our soil again to make sure that the harvest is plentiful. We're going to have to work the dirt. We're going to have to work the soil. We're going to have to figure out what we want to plant. And then we're going to have to plant it. It takes work. It takes a lot of sweat equity to have a garden. When you're in the garden for a couple of hours, to have fruit or vegetables as fruit, it takes work. If you do it for a few hours and you haven't done any physical activity after for a while, there's going to be muscles that you forgot you even had because they're going to be hurting for a few days afterwards. Bearing fruit or bearing vegetables, it takes work. It's not comfortable. If you want fruit, it's not going to be comfortable. And so we come to this parable that Jesus shares in Luke 13, and it talks about a man having a fig tree, and he planted it very intentionally. He planted it to bear fruit. So that means that this tree was not just, it was thought out where he would put it, what type of soil he would put it in. Did it get enough sun? Did it get enough shade? Did it get enough water where he's going to put it? He's very intentional in planting it. It wasn't a volunteer tree that just popped up. You know what? We are intentionally planted as followers of Jesus to bear fruit. And so this tree, after 3 years, no fruit, no figs. And what I learned about fig trees is, after 3 years, a fig tree should bear fruit. And if it hasn't, it won't. It just will not bear fruit. But once a fig tree bears fruit, it will bear it annually. You can expect it. And so it's 3 years have gone by, no fruit. And so the gardener's like, well, look, I've found no fruit. Let's just cut it down. Because you know why? This fig tree is deriving strength and sustenance from the soil, and in return, it's producing nothing. I could plant something there that would produce. This fig tree has produced nothing. Let's just cut it down. And what does the vine dresser say? Hey, just leave it alone. Give it one more year. Let me dig around it. Let me put some fertilizer on it. And if it bears fruit, great. If it doesn't, then you can cut it down. This is really what this parable's saying. And I tell you this because as one of your pastors, I love you and I care for you. But I feel like as followers of Jesus here at Grace, we've gotten a little comfortable. We've gotten comfortable just where we're at. Sometimes I feel like we don't really want to do the hard work to bear fruit. We're comfortable where we're at. And being comfortable with the station that Jesus has given you is a good thing. Contentment is good. but not in the life of a follower of Jesus. Because Jesus is very clear what our mission is in this world. It's Matthew 28, to go and make disciples. And you don't make disciples by being comfortable. Sometimes we gotta be a little uncomfortable. Just like being a gardener. If you wanna bear fruit, it's gonna hurt a little bit. It's gonna stretch you, it's gonna grow you. And so I feel like we have opportunities to share the gospel, but sometimes we go, you know what? I see a pretty full sanctuary at 9:30. It's pretty good. I think we're good. All the while, in our community here in West Knoxville, there's still a lot of people that don't know Jesus as Savior. And people in your circles of influence that don't know Jesus as Savior. What does Jesus call us to do? Bear fruit. Share the gospel. Share the reason for the hope that we have. And here's how he tells us to do it in Scripture. Because here's the deal. Look, we don't get it right. Okay? This is what this parable is saying. Like, we don't get it right, but Jesus always gives us another chance. And so here's how he gives us chances. He gives us a plan to share fruit. And it's not directly in this text. It's throughout the scriptures. First, he tells us we can pray to him. We can have direct communication with God where we say, Lord, man, I had an opportunity to bear fruit by sharing your love and your grace with my friend or my family member, my coworker, my classmate. I had it that chance today. You put it right in front of me and I blew it. Please forgive me. Give me another chance. You can pray that way. You can say, Lord, honestly, I don't know what to say at times. I start fumbling through my words. Give me the words. Give me the courage. Give me the strength. And he will. He also tells us to stay rooted in the word of God. Stay rooted in God's word. And then he also tells us in 1 Peter, share the reason for the hope that we have. You know why we have Ella and all of our confirmation students share a faith statement with you? One, it's so you can hear how Jesus is working in their lives. I think that's really powerful to hear young men and women share how Jesus is working. But another reason is very intentional. It's not a hoop to jump through in the confirmation program. It's so they have a story for the reason for the hope that they have. And they can share it in junior high or senior high or with anybody in their circles of influence. And over the years, that story will change. It will develop. God will do different things, and they'll have different stories and different examples, but everybody loves to hear stories. If it wasn't the case, songs would still not be written and movies would still not be produced. Everybody loves hearing stories. Share the reason for the hope that you have in Jesus. That's all you have to do. Just tell the story. This is how I've seen Jesus make an impact in my life. And he's shown me that he loves me as his child. And you know what? He loves you too. That's what we can do. Again, it's not comfortable. People don't want to hear it. There's distractions. There's fear. It's just like making a garden, right? Planting a garden. There's a lot of work. You got to till the soil. You got to work the soil. You got to be prepared and figure out where you're going to plant. Then you got to keep the distractions in that way. You got to keep the critters out. I mean, in my yard, we've got groundhogs, chipmunks, deer. We have skunks. We have squirrels, birds. We have every animal is trying to get into our garden. We've got to keep them out so that the plants are not distracted or killed from these critters, right? We have to water them. With four kids, you can forget to water your garden. Did you know that? It happens. And so if you don't water it enough or you water it too much, it won't grow. There won't be fruit. There won't be vegetables. There won't be production. And then sometimes, you know, you don't plant in the right way. There's maybe you're concerned, well, is that one going to grow? So you don't maybe put as many seeds in. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways that this works. So what does Jesus call us to do? Keep digging around. Keep looking for opportunities to bear fruit. Fertilize with Jesus in this world as you go through in word and deed. In your daily lives. Look at what Galatians 5 talks about. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fertilize your lives and the lives of others around you in your circles of influence with those things. Because as a follower of Jesus, you possess all these things: joy, love, patience, kindness. Are we always these things? No. But you know what? Jesus provides us a way to go, Lord, I blew it. Would you forgive me? So here's the way this works. If we share the hope and joy of Jesus, one, Jesus sees the fruit. And that's important, but it's not as important as this, that people know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the outcome of bearing fruit. When you bear fruit, people know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if we don't do it, well, what does the parable say? Well, it just says, cut the tree down because no fruit's found. Translation, when we don't bear fruit, we're making it extremely easy for people in our community to go to hell. And I'm pretty sure that's not what we desire. So we want to bear fruit because time is short. The day you had yesterday, you don't get it back. And every day we live is one more day closer to Jesus coming back. We want people to know Jesus as Savior. We want them to know the reason for the hope we have. So Jesus gives this tree in this parable special care. This parable shows he's patient. He's gracious towards you and me. He has every right to cut us down, but in his mercy, he spared us. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is what? He is patient towards you, not wishing any should perish, but all should reach repentance. So here's how you and I can kind of respond to this text today. Today's the time to repent. In this season of Lent, which is a time of repentance, that's really the bottom line in this text. When we don't bear fruit or we blow it, and we all do, I've done it many times. Don't think just because I've got pastor in front of my name or behind my name that I haven't blown it, okay? That there's been plenty of times where I go, man, it was right there. Jesus handed me like the opportunity and I blew it. Lord, once again, I come to you asking for forgiveness. Would you forgive me? Would you provide me another opportunity? And it isn't a day or two that goes by where, boom, there's another opportunity. Hey, P-Brain, can you figure this one out? Let's do it. Same thing for us. We repent. And we bear fruit. Jesus could have done it real comfortably. He didn't have to give up his life. But there he hung, rooted on a tree for you and me. It wasn't comfortable. It cost him a lot. But he lived, died, and rose for you and me so that we could be part of his redemption plan, part of his redemption story, so that we could go throughout this world in our circles of influence, in our day-to-day lives, and just bear fruit. So receive the mercy and grace and that Jesus has given you and share it with those in your circles of influence as we connect people to Jesus, as we help people grow in faith in Jesus, and as we serve people in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please rise.